Father, we thank you for your word, the message this morning that is burning in my heart, Father. It really is, Father. This word of God that you have sent, that you have given us, Lord God, and then the Holy Spirit who comes along and helps us, Lord. We thank you, Father. We ask you to speak through my lips this morning, Lord, truth. And that the truth will continue to make us free. That we'll walk more according to your spirit than we did before. That we'll hear your truth, apply it to our life, and know that you're with us in Jesus' mighty name. Well, we've been talking here. I've been going through different parts of 1 John. We haven't just gone everything. Well, brother, I mean, I know Gary taught on 1 John. I encourage you to listen to Gary. And he has many, many great truths, but there's so much. There's so much really in this book. As we'd said, John wrote this book about 50 years after Jesus had been raised from the dead. He was crucified and raised from the dead, amen? And it was about 50 years, so at least 50 years, John had been walking with God. He had walked with Jesus, and he was a faithful disciple to the Lord. And he's saying, I am telling you the things that I've seen and heard. I touched Jesus. He was alive. He was the Lord God Almighty. I heard what he said. And I'm here to declare to you the things which I've seen and heard. And I want you to understand, it is a place that you can have fellowship with the Father, just like we do. And others can have fellowship with the Father if we'll acknowledge who Jesus is. Amen. Whoever comes to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to him, he doesn't throw you away. He accepts you. He receives you. Not only that. See, it wasn't enough for God that you just be forgiven. He wanted you to be changed on the inside. That's why the Bible said, that's why Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. You must be, in other words, born from above, actually birthed from God above. There's a spora word in there where we get our word sperm, where God births us in our spirit and we become a son or daughter of God, adopted by him into the family of God. We become his very own, where his nature and life move in. Sin moves out. We don't stay the same. We've truly been changed. If you've been born again, I don't care if you're struggling in your flesh. Your spirit man has life in there, and if you start yielding to it, that life will begin to drive out all unrighteousness, begin to strengthen you, amen, with the Word of God. And when we pour the Word of God in, we're feeding our spirit. When we pray in tongues, we're feeding our spirit. We're causing ourselves to grow. When we worship God, we're going into the presence of God to what? To strengthen our spiritual man so that we can learn to walk by the Spirit and not by what we see in the natural, not by our own mind, not according to our own emotion. How many feel different ways at different times in your life? Sometimes through the day you have different feelings, amen? You know, you could be real happy one minute and then the next. See, emotions change with the wind. They go up and down. But we can learn to control that, to take authority over it, and to allow what God has said about it to be the truth. See, a lot of times we have to stop believing the lies. If you stop believing the lies, that's what Eve's problem was. She believed the lie that she wasn't like God. She was already in the image of God. She did know God. And the devil came and said, if you'll do this, you'll be like God. She was already like God. That's his deception. And we talked about that last week. The spirit of Antichrist that's already in the world. That tries to what? Come. And it's working on man. It said, hey, you know, that Jesus, he's, you know, they don't like Jesus. I had a guy at my work, he was trying to tell me, oh, yeah, you've been born again. Well, I have too. No, you haven't. You reject Jesus completely. He doesn't even believe Jesus was raised from death. I said, no, you're not born again. You don't have a special life, and you can't do it on your own, because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We come to him completely empty, don't we? We have to have what he gives us. It's only what God has given us on the inside that produces the real life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And so this was, you know, written around 85 AD. And there are many similarities, of course, to the book of John, which John wrote. There are many references to it here. And we know that this is more of a, I believe this, John is writing a very fatherly letter. It's an intimate letter from his heart and his relationship with God. And he's warning the people. He's bringing different things unto them. He talks about walking according to God's word in obedience to his commandments, to walking in the light that we have received, to walking in love, to gaining knowledge, to letting the very life of God in you be what guides your life. And he gave us warnings. He says, yes, those that reject Jesus, those that are against him, antichrist, it doesn't mean they come up and say, we don't want anything to do with Jesus. No. Many times, you know, even in Jude, it says, hey, they've wormed into the church. And they say little things like, well, you know, some of those teachings of Jesus, you know, that are over there in the Gospels, they don't apply to you. You don't have to listen to them. That was just for the people before Jesus died on the cross. And that's a lie. It's not true. It's very subtle. It sounds good. Well, maybe that was just for them. No, that's for you and I. Because many of the things that Jesus said, he was prophesying toward the future. He was saying it for the help of those then, but us now as well. All right. Well, I'm going to try to stay close to my notes today. 1 John, let's move forward here. Verse 20 and 21. 1 John 2, 20 and 21. But you have received an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And so here we see part of the answer to us from John. He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. In other words, you have a presence of God that lives in you when you receive Jesus into your life. You have an anointing. The anointing is just the Holy Spirit. That is the presence of God that comes and makes his home in your physical body. Amen. It's a hands-on experience. You have an anointing, a presence of God. The Holy Spirit himself, he changed you from darkness to light. He caused your spirit to come to life. And he placed his life and his nature on the inside of you so that now you're no longer, your propensity or your desire is not toward sin, but toward God. It is not toward unrighteousness, but toward righteousness. He said that we were born again in Ephesians 4. He says, you're born again in true righteousness and holiness. That's what moved into the inside of us. Now, we're taking what we have on the inside, learning to walk according to that, and bring it to the outside. Amen? To where it affects our life out here. And that takes us listening to those unctions on the inside of us. He said, I didn't write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, that no lie is of the truth. Amen. How many know sometimes truth is very dogmatic? Okay? There's something about truth. You say, well, that's not very inclusive. Well, what is 2 plus 2? You know, do you know 2 plus 2, sister? 4? Are you sure? Every time? It's not five. Okay, well, you're being very, I mean, you know what? I mean, I can't believe you. I mean, you're very narrow-minded. You know, 2 + 2 = 4, I mean. But we all know it's true, right? Truth is truth because it's truth. You may not believe it's 4, but it is 4. You say, well, I don't believe it's 4. Okay, you know, go ahead, you know, that's fine, but it's still 4, isn't it? You know, and when it comes to truth, truth can be very narrow because truth is truth by the merit of truth alone. And what did Jesus say in John 17? He says, Father, thy word is truth. God's word is the truth. And so we don't change God's truth to fit our life. We change our lifestyle and our life to agree with God's truth. Amen. When we take his truth and he says, you have an anointing. In other words, he was talking here that there was deception taking place, but down on the inside of you, there is someone that teaches you. There's an anointing. There's an unction on the inside of you that knows right and wrong. He said, when we are born again, the law of God begins to be written on our heart. And a lot of times, you know, when you are there, how many know? You know when you're doing wrong, right? Now, some know because of, you know, they learned, hey, you don't steal. Well, why don't you steal? Well, because mom will beat me, you know. or someone is, you know, I'm going to go to jail. There's a punishment. But we don't steal because we know it in our heart. God does not want us to steal. He said, thou shalt not steal. And that law is able to be done, and we can fulfill that law now because it's written in our hearts. It is part of our nature. Our nature is to do righteousness. And now we have to learn, of course, to live according to that. You say, well, can a righteous person steal something? Yes, they can. They're free. But they know they're doing wrong. Amen. You know, if you stole something from the store, you would know it, right? Wouldn't you? You know, and your heart would convict you because you know God. Because his life and nature is in there. And you may have to go back and take it back. I took this out of here and I need to pay for it. You know, so you want to make it right. Amen. Because your heart convicts us and we have that anointing from the Holy One and we know right from wrong. We know truth from error. When we're what? Fellowshipping with the Father and walking in that light. And it's so important because our nature that we received of the Father. It's not the same. We're changed. We're not of a death nature. We're now of a nature that comes from God and is filled with life. Hallelujah. And when we allow that, we abide in him. We let that abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. That which you heard from the beginning, verse 24, abides in you. And you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, you're going to remain in him when we walk after the truth that's been given to us already from his word. When we walk according to that truth, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Lord. John is teaching that what we heard Jesus teach, this is what John is teaching, what he heard Jesus teach. That's what he said in the beginning. And in John 14:26, let's turn there for a minute. John 14:26, he talks about the Comforter that would come. This is very similar to what he's saying there. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So regardless of what lies the enemy may bring, we can trust what God has already said, number one, in his word, and number two, in our heart, in our spirit, that anointing that teaches us. Verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. How does it teach you on the inside? When you spend time in his presence, when you spend time in his word, it brings truth to you. That's the Holy Spirit. You're now born again. He said, the Bible says, before you're born again, we cannot know God. It is impossible. The things of the flesh cannot know God. People that are not born again, they can't really understand the things of God. But after we're born again, that's 1 Corinthians 2. It's a good chapter to read. But there, after we're born again, we can understand the things of God. Why? Because our nature was changed. We now have a nature that's like God's nature. It is like him. It is similar to, it is the same life and nature that moved on the inside of you that lived on the inside of Jesus when he was here on this earth. Now you have your own spirit, and Jesus has his spirit, and you have your spirit. But when that spirit comes alive to God on the inside, our spiritual man, we can then begin to understand the things of God. We can understand the Bible more and more. And then he also sends, as we read earlier, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. And here he was saying, you have anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in there. Teaching you those things, helping you to understand the truth and what you had already received from him. What did he say in the beginning? Jesus died for you. He was buried. He was raised 3 days later. He's coming again. He paid the price for your sin. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, where John was talking about those that were newly saved, a newborn Christian. You can know your sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, he said, I forgive you. Even before we come to him, he said, I'm not really holding sin against you. But what is being held against us is that we have to receive the remedy for sin, and his name is Jesus. We must believe that he paid the price for sin, that he paid the price for sickness, that he is the answer. John chapter 8, here in 31-32, Jesus said to in this verse that we'll know what? Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you what? Continue in my word. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word or continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is a promise of sonship from God. He said that truth will make you free. What truth? The truth of who Jesus is and what he has come to make you, a son of the living God, to be born again. It wasn't enough for him that you're just forgiven. He said, I want to live in you. And when we receive him, he comes to make his home and abide in us. And we become the very temple of God. Oh, how many remember the temple in the Old Testament? How many know that you didn't just walk into the temple? You didn't just walk into the Holy of Holies. You know, if you did, you were destroyed. You could not stand the presence of God. It didn't matter. Even only the high priest went in once a year to the very presence of God. But now God said, when Jesus died on that cross, the veil that went between the two, the holy place and the Holy of Holies, was rent in two. He said, I'm taking that veil down and I'm coming to live in you. I live in you. I move in you. And I have my being in you. Will you allow me to live through you? I live in you. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I will teach you if you'll take the time to fellowship with me. John's talking all about fellowship. In that fellowship, that anointing that's in you, we can fellowship with the Father. We can know him. How many know when you know the truth, you're not going to fall for the lie? You know, when you go to the bank, you know how they teach them, you know, false money. They don't give them fake money. They give them the real money. If you handle something enough times and somebody hands you a fake $10 bill, right, or $20 bill or $100 bill, something's wrong. You feel it in your finger. Why? Because you were trained. You learned it, and we train. Our spirit is trained by the Holy Spirit and empowered by Him. And we begin to know the truth, and that truth has set us free. Hallelujah. John 8:12 says, we've looked at this scripture before, but it's back up just a little bit. Verse 12 says, then Jesus spake to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Glory to God. He said, I am the light of the world. So who do we have? We have Him. And we become the light of the world. He lives in us. He becomes our very life. His life, His nature moves in. And we're changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they were taught. You know, he's teaching these very truths that were taught by the apostles, by John, by Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's remaining true to the teachings of Jesus no matter where the Lord sends us on the planet Earth. We have the truth. And that truth is what makes men free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 22 and 23, 1 John 2. We read that, but let's read it again. 1 John 2:22. Hallelujah. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. In other words, anti just means what? Against. He's against Jesus who denies him. Well, if they deny him, yes. How many know if someone, you know, they're against God, they're saying, I don't want him. I don't want Jesus. You deny the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. So he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And it's important to realize, we're saying, well, some people say they have the Father. They've got God the Father. You know, they don't have Jesus, but they got God. No. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you deny Jesus, you cannot have the Father. Amen. But if we receive Jesus, we have the Father already because he's in him. Amen. Because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is in us. We have the Father also. He adopts us. Amen. We have the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us to continually remind us of the things that Jesus has said and to keep our feet on the right path. We don't have to fear the spirit of Antichrist in the world. It's getting worse. How many know the world waxes worse and worse? The world system. They may deny Christ. They may not want God. They're fickle. You know, I remember, sometimes I remember one particular party in the U.S., they voted God out, you know. Then they had another meeting the next night. They voted God back in. And I just let you know, God's not up for vote one way or another. He's still Lord. He's still God. And he always will be. He always will be God. And that is where he has left that choice to us. Will we allow him to be God? Will we fellowship with him? Will we allow his truth to guide our feet and guide our path? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit himself reveals. We will reveal the lies of the Antichrist to us if we'll stay in close fellowship with him. And how do we stay in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's one good way is to pray in tongues, right? And to stay in the Word of God. Amen. This Bible is the truth. It has truth for you that you're already God's. You're accepted by him. He has forgiven you. He has cleansed you. When you say, yes, Jesus, you are my Savior, I need you. Does that mean we have no struggle again in life? No. You may struggle. There may be things in your flesh that you have done that is causing you to struggle. But he will ultimately, if you'll keep drawing to the Holy Spirit, if you'll keep spending time with the Word of God, if you'll keep spending time with him, he will free you completely from anything that has held you back. Amen. Hallelujah. He actually already paid the price, and he has made you free. But you and I, we have to spend time with him and learn how to walk in this new life. He said, walk. You know, you've been raised from death to life. Now walk in the newness of life. You were buried with him. You were raised with him. Now walk. Learn to walk in that newness of life. And when we spend time praying in the Spirit, he begins to what? Build up our inner man. The Bible says, but building up yourselves, Jude 20, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You are building an edifice on the inside of you, and your capacity to receive from him becomes greater and more. He says, you shall receive what? Power. What is the sign of the Holy Spirit? Power. And with that power comes a language called other tongues. A tongue that you don't learn, but that you can speak to God anytime you want to, as much as you want to, and he will begin to fellowship with you and strengthen you and change you and allow the truth to be made so real on the inside of you. Nobody, I can't take it from you. No man can take it from you. No lie can take it from you. Why? Because he has strengthened you and settled it on the inside, and your spirit is so strong in who you are in him, that Jesus is the way, that he is the only hope. He is the truth of mankind, and the world needs to know that Jesus loves them. He's already set them free. He's paid the price and the penalty for sin, and it is our job to see to it that they hear the truth. And when the truth is heard, then they have that choice. Yes, I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is the way. I receive him as the Messiah. Amen. Now, when people do tell lies about him, they don't just say, I don't believe in the Messiah. You know, because why? People would automatically already know that they're denying the Father and the Son. But many times, false teachers that creep in, they deny the teachings of Jesus, or they twist it, right? How many know that the deceiver, enemy, Satan, that's one of his names, the deceiver, he doesn't deceive with full truth. He gives a little truth and puts just a little strychnine in there, right? If you want to poison a dog, you don't just put the poison out there, do you? No. You put it in a nice piece of meat, and you just put a little bit in there, and he eats that meat, and somebody said, well, the dog is sick, and then he dies, right? And they said, boy, I wonder what happened. Well, someone had poisoned the meat. There wasn't anything wrong. The meat was good. The dog liked it, but hidden in that meat. And that's what the devil does. He hides little lies in the truth. That's what he was trying to tell Eve. Oh, you'll be like God. He's already like God. But he says, you just eat of this and you'll have greater knowledge, greater understanding. You know, things will be different. But God says, no, you follow me. I will lead you away from lies. I will lead you into all truth. What did Jesus say? Let us pray. Father, deliver us from evil. Amen. Deliver us from the evil ways of man and of the flesh and the lies of the enemy, and let us receive the truth. Amen. Luke 9, 34 and 35. This is where Jesus was, and John was one of those that were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they heard God say this with their own ears. In Luke chapter 9, verse 34 and 35. Now, if there was any question, right here they were being answered by God here. Verse 34 says, while he was saying this, in other words, they went up to the mount here and of Transfiguration, and while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet, and they told no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. And they had seen Jesus transfigured before them. Okay, we see that in the earlier verse 29. It says, and he prayed, and the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, the two men which talked with him were Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which was about his decrease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus said, I'm decreasing. I'm going to be crucified and raised again, but I'm going to send a comforter, which he had already told them earlier. And but Peter and those who were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. So this happened there, and they appeared like that, and then they heard God's voice say, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The Antichrists who were saying it's okay, some of them say it's okay to deny some of the teachings of Jesus, then they would be denying what God said. God said, hear him. God had already said, hear this Jesus. So Peter, James, and John had this specific, special revelation. I believe part of it may have been where he was trying to restore and restore confidence to Peter, you know, where he had denied the Lord. But here he hears him. Hear what Jesus is saying. Hear him. And they had heard the truth from the beginning. They had gone teaching the apostles' doctrine house to house. And they kept that original truth of living in these truths, in the truth of who Jesus was and his truth, where he said, well, love your enemies, forgive those who persecute you and evilly say, you know, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. He says, pray for them, forgive them, do good to them. Jesus' teaching was that was different. Under the old covenant, they said, oh, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But now I'm telling you, let my love dominate you. Let me be who I am in you. Hallelujah. And so in John 14, he says, just in a little while, you're going to see me no more. John 14, 19. So Jesus is saying, you have that anointing. You've got the greater one in you. You have a spirit that's alive to him now. And in the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will come. He will teach you. He's going to guide us, what? Into all truth. Hallelujah. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You have an anointing. In verse 27 of John 2, he says, you got an unction from the Holy One. Amen. That unction teaches. You don't need that some man teaches you, but it will teach you what's right and wrong. In other words, yes, we have teachers in the body of Christ, and we learn, but you're going to know what the lies are because he is in you. He'll say, oh, that's right. When you hear the truth, you're going to know it's true. You're going to know that's true. Oh, that's true. It witnesses what? In my heart, in my life. All right, John 14, verse 19. I'm going to read through a little bit here. John 14, 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father and will love him and manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. I'm going to manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we'll come to him and make our abode, our home with him, our abode with him, or our home with him. And he who does not love me, does not keep my word, And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. In other words, he's saying here, I'm giving you the words. If a man love me, he's going to keep my words, and the Father will love him, and he will come to him. He's going to make his home in you, in him. And then in 1 John, we see in 1 John, let's go back there real quick, because we're seeing that he's teaching the same things that Jesus taught. He said, if you love me, you're going to keep my words. You're going to stay faithful to my word, to my truth. Hallelujah. Verse 25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning those who deceive you. But you have the anointing which you have received of him. It abides in you. And you don't need that anybody else teach you, but as that anointing teaches you concerning all things, it's true, it's not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide or live in him. Hallelujah. So the life is in the vine. It is in Jesus. He is that very life. He is the vine. John 15 says, he is the vine. We are the branch. Amen. If a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. That's John 15, 6 and 7. And they are burned. We're cast in the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so we see here that the life in the vine, you must abide in Christ for that life to flow in you. If we don't continue to abide in Christ, we're going to be cast forth as a branch, and there's no such thing as abiding in Christ without his word abiding in you. We abide in him by letting his words what abide in us. And we allow his truth to saturate us, to bring us forth. Amen. We abide in you which have heard. That's what we just read. 2:24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, you're going to remain. Abide just means to remain, to stay, to live in. Okay? You're living in him. You're going to remain in him. You're going to stay strong in him. When we allow that truth that has set us free to continue to remain in us and to walk according to that. Hallelujah. The new nature always leads us into righteousness. See, we had that anointing, verse 27, that anointing which is in us that we received of the Father. Hallelujah. It abides and is teaching us. Amen. It teaches us what? It leads us into righteousness. As just like, you know, if you have a true compass, where does it point? It always points north, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit always points, and the Spirit of truth that's in you, the nature in you, points toward righteousness. And that is our first teacher, the nature on the inside of us. It begins to teach us what right from wrong. And he gave us more than that. He gave us the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of truth, the third person of the Godhead. And John is reminding us of what Jesus taught, that not only does the Holy Spirit teach us all things and show us things to come, but also he comes as our comforter, our helper, our strengthener. John 14:26 says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you, Jesus says. So Jesus taught the apostles taught the disciples, these disciples that are there now, and everything that they taught them, what? Everything that Jesus had taught them. And he begins, and so we continue. We have that new nature, the words of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And that's how we abide in Christ. We continue to receive that eternal life from the vine. Because he said, I am the vine, you are the branch. And when we remain in him, his life flows freely. Just like, you know, you don't see the tree. The branches don't produce the vine is like the trunk. It's the trunk. It's that part that remains. It's faithful. You know, and the roots bring up it. It flows to the trunk, what? To the branches. And where does the fruit come? On the branches. And we begin to produce fruit. So, hallelujah. So we can look and we can see what John is teaching here. He's telling us, keep the commandments of the Lord. Walk in love. And a lot of this we can see in John. I'm going to read a little portion here in John 15:14. In verse 15, let's back up there again. And when we look at all that John is saying, he's saying, I'm telling you the things that Jesus said and did. And this chapter, these chapters really begin to come to life. And I'd recommend you reading them over and over. John 14, John 15, John 16, John 17, even John 13 really is where he kind of starts. He says, I'm getting ready to depart. He says, you know, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come that he should depart from the world, he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to be crucified. And he's telling us all these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 14, verse 15. I just want to read a piece here and just let it soak into our hearts. And listen, it's kind of a long passage, but I think it's worthwhile when we look at it and what John is saying. He's saying what? Walk in the light. You are the light of the world now. Jesus is the light. He is the light. Walk in that light. Follow my commands. And we see that here, what Jesus is teaching. John is being faithful to share and to teach. 50 years later, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Let's let that just feed our spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it didn't see him, nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father. But my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And so Jesus is here. He's talking to them. These are his words, and we can hear that. Can you hear many things that John was talking in 1 John that Jesus is displaying here? He's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you realize that you're in me, understand that I'm going to prepare the place, that where I am now, you may be also, which was what? A place where the Father and the Holy Spirit, the very nature and life of God, lived in him. He said, you're going to be a changed people. You're going to know the truth, and that truth is going to keep you free. Jesus is talking here. He is sharing the truth. And I think when we, sometimes we need to just get the Word of God. Just read the Word to yourself. Think about it. Just take that chapter and the next chapter, you know, and just meditate on there and see those truths that he says, I'm in you and you're in me. I'm in the Father. That means you're in the Father because I'm in you. Hallelujah. And without him, what, we can't do anything. But with him, when we let his word abide in us, we remain in this word. We remain in fellowship with him. We don't have to worry about being deceived because we know the truth, and that truth keeps us free. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so really, that's the answer to deception, is knowing the truth, but knowing who is the truth also, who gives the truth, knowing our Father. And when we know the Word of God, we know that he has changed us on the inside. We can trust that spirit man in us as it comes forth in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. God bless. We'll stop there. I think that's important because he's talking all about fellowship. And we know, we talk about it all the time, because fellowship brings transformation. Fellowship, praying in other tongues especially, it is a revelation gift. It is a teaching gift. It is on the inside of you. And the more time that we spend praying in tongues, the more truth begins to be revealed. Really, you should have gain, you begin to gain a greater understanding of what God is saying just right here in this Bible. Amen. That's our number one way. I want us to realize, do you understand? This is number one. The number one way God really communicates to us is through his word. He didn't give us the Word of God for no reason. He gave it to us so that we can live our lives by it and be changed. And we can conform to his truth and the things that are on the inside of us. And we know we're doing the right thing because of what he has said. And then, of course, we have what? The leadership, the unction of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, our inward man. We know right from wrong already on the inside of us. Amen. He will guide us by what? That inner witness where he said, the Holy Spirit bears witness, what, with our spirit, that we're a child of God. Amen. We are his. We belong to him. Paul said, whose I am, whom I serve, I'm his. You belong to him. He has adopted us. We are his sons. We can trust him. And we can trust his word because of who he is. See, when God comes to us to speak with us, he doesn't come in condemnation. He comes with strength. You know, his words are not to condemn us. Even when he corrects us, he comes in gentleness. He comes in peace. He comes with his presence. He says, listen, this is not right. And you know on the inside how wrong it is, yet you know how much he loves you. You know, even when he comes and corrects us, he corrects us in love. He corrects us in with his word, with his truth. Oh, Lord, I was wrong about that. Sorry, I didn't realize it. Or maybe you did, you know, you said, Lord, I just realized that's wrong. That's, here's your word says this, and I've been doing that. And what can we do? 1 John 1:9, Father, forgive me. I agree with what you said. See, that's agreeing with God. And so there's that walk with him and walking with him. And that's our greatest desire, that we find and fulfill his purpose for each one of us. Amen? And then we're going to be a multifaceted body of Christ. when each part supplies, we're going to be like a machine, a harvesting machine, when every part is supplying its part. Amen. You know, we couldn't. We were playing around back there earlier. You know, Joseph put that up on my eye. You know, if your eye wants to start talking, it doesn't do a very good job, does it? Amen. But it does great at seeing. And so let's be faithful to whatever part God has given us right now and do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you want prayer for anything, the altar is open. We'll be glad to pray with you. Let's just pray right now. I know that Peter and Amelia stepped out. I don't know if she's dealing with something or whatever, but let's just pray for her right now. Would you agree with me? Father, we just pray for Peter and Amelia. They've been coming, Lord, and I don't know what happened or what's going on, Father, but you do. Send your angels. Create an atmosphere about them, Lord. Help her, Lord. Deal with her heart, Lord. Draw her to yourself. Help her, Lord, to receive the help that she needs and to get her emotions in control, Lord, and her life in control. Father, that she'd surrender totally to you, both of them, Lord, and we trust you for the work which you begun in her and that you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you for continuing to open the eyes of their heart and the eyes of their understanding and drawing them to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Father. Hallelujah. Anybody online that wants prayer, Joe? Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the greater one that lives in us, that there are even in 1 John. Later on, he says, greater is he. You are of God, little children. But great and greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Father, we thank you that you have chosen to make your home in us, that we belong to you, that our nature and our life is one of righteousness, that your life moves in, and you teach us how to walk free. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for it. Amen and amen.